To the first workshop of the Queen's Family Support Conference. As you may be aware, this is a full week event. We have workshops every day this week. You can see the schedule on our website at qcddny.org. It's also been sent out, so I'm sure you're fully aware of the schedule for the week. We thank you for joining today. Before I introduce our guest speakers, I just want to remind everyone that we are recording these sessions. If you don't want to be recorded, you can take off your video camera. And also, for questions and answers, we are not taking live questions. It would all have to be done through the chat. So I'm sure at this point, having been using Zoom and such all these past few months, you might be used to that already. And our presenters can decide whether they want to take questions at the end or throughout the session. So I hope everyone is well and safe during these challenging times. And I'm glad that you were able to make it to today's session. Anything that you aren't able to make during the week, please know the recording will be posted on the website and will be sent out after the conference. So without further ado, I would like to welcome Station MD to talk about telemedicine with the IDDD population and how helpful it's been over the past several months during these challenging times. And with us today, we have Dr. Trivedi and Megan Kalishman, who will take it from here. So thank you both very much again for being here today. And we appreciate all of your support during these challenging times, and we look forward to your presentation.
Great.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us. I am gonna jump right into it. And what I will do is I will leave some time at the end. If you have questions, I'll go through the chat box. But at the very end of the presentation is my information. I believe Megan's information as well. If you have a question that you want to email us or go through the website, please don't hesitate. So, you know, this is really what we do. Our goal here is really to help achieve superior care for vulnerable individuals. And by that, we are talking about individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Station MD was founded by board certified emergency doctors. You know, we call ourselves telehealth pioneers. That's not too difficult. It's a relatively young field, and we've been doing this for several years now. This was born out of really our own real-world experience in the ER, taking care of individuals with IDD or intellectual developmental disabilities, and thought there's got to be a better way to do this. To date, we've had thousands of encounters, virtual encounters, treating all types of complex medical issues. And unfortunately, a significant amount of experience with COVID-19. I am personally based in New York City, and many of our physicians are in this area, and still do work in the ER itself, in the real world, I'll call it. And we have really been kind of become de facto experts in the virus. In addition to our physicians all being board certified, our doctors are also specially trained to care for individuals with IDD. We go through a specific certification process to really understand both the clinical and social nuances of this population. Not all physicians are comfortable taking care of these individuals, as you guys are probably aware of, and our physicians go through this specialized training. And currently we're offering our services in multiple states. These are just some of the organizations that we are members of, and these are various speaking and presentation opportunities that we partook in. We're very proud of the work that we do in this community, and we are always advocating proper medical care and really for disability rights across the country. This is just a very busy slide, which just says individuals with IDD tend to use the emergency room slightly significantly more than other groups. A lot of this is due to comorbidities and other issues such as GI, mental illness, seizures, pneumonia. But what's most striking on this slide, on this slide, you'll see that some of the early estimates have shown that individuals with IDD are up to five times more likely to contract COVID-19. And what's more distressing is that there's a 5 times increased mortality, meaning if one contracts the virus, that there's up to five times increased likelihood that they will succumb to the disease. We've unfortunately seen this in the New York City area and in other geographies. A lot of this is due to some of the underlying issues of individuals with IDD. The clinical issues being that they have comorbidities, meaning other disease processes that make them more vulnerable, whether it be pulmonary issues, but there are also issues of social distancing. As you know, it's sometimes difficult for this population to socially distance. They're in a group home setting, and oftentimes difficult for them to keep a mask on or keep the hands away from their face. And many times they rely on support staff to care for them and for their activities of daily living. So this virus is extremely challenging for certain populations, and individuals with IDD are one of them. So, you know, what we do at StationMD is really try to bring the physician upstream, meaning keep individuals at home and in their home setting whenever possible. You know, the emergency room experience or urgent care visit is traumatic enough for anyone, but especially for individuals with IDD. We call it the trauma of transport. You know, getting an individual out sometimes requires specialized transport, requires support staff. You know, I used to do this presentation before COVID, and we used to talk about the real exposure to infections, flu and other viruses. But now, of course, with COVID, it's become even more relevant to keep people safe. And for our population, we're not only talking about the individual, but the support staff, the transport or the driver, the clerk in the ER. So anything that we can do to evaluate and keep an individual at home, I think it's imperative that we take that upon ourselves. It's extremely disruptive to an individual's routine as well. And we've seen this sometimes takes days to weeks to stabilize a traumatic visit to the ER. You know, I put this missed medication, and a little bit later in the presentation, I will talk about what we do. And it's not just emergent or urgent visits. We do med refills, and reminds me of a case I saw in the ER where an individual came simply for a seizure refill because they couldn't reach their doctor and ended up sitting there for 6 hours, had a seizure, fell off the stretcher and hit their head, ended up having a CAT scan. So these are real issues. And again, I can't emphasize enough, if we can keep people at home, it's imperative now, especially given COVID. You know, the ER experience, I've been practicing emergency medicine for over 20 years, and my colleagues are brilliant and they go through an extensive amount of training. But the experience and understanding they have of individuals with IDD comes from their own experience. It's not like they go through specialized training or really understand a lot of the clinical aspects. So it is unspecialized care, especially if you're talking about the ER or urgent care. Again, the exposure issue is real, and the patient trauma, I call it, is real. So it really is suboptimal care than you would get through someone who is trained to understand this population, trained to know the nuances and the limitations, not just clinical, but social as well. And of course, I don't even have to mention the unnecessary testing and hospitalizations oftentimes leads to a tremendous amount of excessive costs, not just for the healthcare system, but for provider agencies and families and everyone involved in the care. Which brings me to provider organizations. You know, it's been challenging. I really think that they are should be considered in some locales they are essential workers, but there are regulatory issues, compliance issues that you have to contend with, and the individuals that we care for are complex. So these are just some of the challenges for caring this population, and staffing is a big part of it. This is not a local issue, but a national issue in terms of staff turnover, staff safety. Unfortunately, there's been many staff members that work for provider organizations that have contracted the virus, and unfortunately, some that have died. Again, these are just some of the reasons where an organization like ours can help support the support staff, because it is real. Turnover is real. And oftentimes, if an individual does need to be sent out, it's not an hour or 2 hour ordeal. It's several hours, and you need to backfill their position. So these are challenging times for everyone, but that doesn't exclude provider agencies and organizations. So the benefits of telehealth, one of the things is we can expand access optimally and safely anywhere. It does result in decreased healthcare costs and really does help foster independence and let individuals, giving them a safety net of a physician they can call, really provides more of an independence and fosters independence for their life. What are the causes of frequent urgent care use? I've mentioned some of these and I won't go into all the details, but one of the things is many times an individual may have a doctor or clinic that they go to, but it's 2 a.m. and the primary care physician isn't available. And oftentimes the primary care docs aren't equipped to have the same virtual capacities that we do at Station MD, for example, to visualize or access to the patient's healthcare record. So these are just some of the challenges. On the left are some of the problems, the right are the solutions. So, lack of access. Telehealth, of course, removes all those geographic impediments. We can be in any part of the state, any part of Queens, if needed, any part of the country. If you have a Wi-Fi connection, you can see a physician. As I mentioned, the suboptimal care for individuals with specialized needs. Our physicians are specially trained. We also have access to the patient's medical records and database. Whether it's electronic or whether it's just paper, we would upload that. So I think it's a better quality of care and the evaluation is really tailored to individuals with IDD. I did mention that, oftentimes primary care isn't available, but our physicians are on 24/7 and the regulatory pressures we're all quite aware of. So I do want to emphasize that telemedicine is not there and we are not there to replace primary care, really there to augment and supplement and help coordinate care with primary care physicians. We will address a high glucose. We don't necessarily manage an individual's chronic insulin regimen. If an individual needs a med refill or clarification, we can do that. If an individual has any urgent medical issue, our doctors are available. And again, many of these times, the family or the nurse maybe that's part of the provider agency organization or even the support staff knows what to do, but they just need a physician's, I'll just call it a physician's blessing to kind of implement the plan. And our doctors are more than happy to do that. These are just some of the tools that we have to augment the care that we provide. We've developed treatment guidelines. Of course, we always rely on the physician's clinical judgment, but we've developed guidelines, of course, on COVID-19, falls, soma care, seizures. I did mention all of our physicians go through extensive training, but we also provide an educational series for provider agencies. If you may be listening, where we will do a webinar that's tailored towards the agency about whatever topic is important. Some of them that we've done are change in condition or how to de-escalate a behavioral issue. And again, quality reviews, we provide extensive amount of data to the support staff and the agency. Megan, I don't know if you wanted to talk briefly about this, about what we can provide and what the data that we collect.
Sure. So we do on a monthly basis provide kind of a summary data for all of the agencies that utilize our services, and that would be the number of calls. If you have a number of multiple sites that use the service, it would be calls by site, by hour of day, by day of week, by our provider, and whether that person was treated in place or transferred, as well as by diagnosis code. So that information can also be customized for each individual agency, depending on what is needed. And then we also have the agency also has the ability to have access to our kind of what we kind of call our portal called Station Connect. So they can go in and kind of get more detailed information on individuals that we see at any time that that they need, and they can even run reports out of that system kind of on demand as well.
Thanks. I find this from a clinical aspect also very interesting because it often allows us to trend. You may see an uptick in flu or even COVID, and it allows from a clinical aspect to adjust how you want to staff or how you want to treat. You may want to start the whole, let's say it's a group home on Tamiflu. So there's not only just operational ramifications of collecting this kind of data that Megan kind of alluded to, but there's also clinical aspects that really can help better care for individuals. I'm just going to run real quickly into a real case and how the process works so you understand it. This was a real case of a 24-year-old female with cerebral palsy, asthma, developed a cough and a fever of 101. SATs were 90%. So, you know, that's the change in condition. The staff activate StationMD. The one thing I will say is we've made this the process extremely easy. If you're on this call and able to do Zoom or Skype or FaceTime, you can do a StationMD virtual evaluation. The staff simply calls one number and we get some basic demographic information where you're calling from and what site. And the facility staff initiates the encounter. The bottom here is an icon. You just basically press that and you're up and running. As I mentioned, the doctor has access to the patient's medical records. So on one screen, the physician will be doing the evaluation. On the bottom here, you'll see some pictures of what that looks like. And the other screen, they'll have access to the patient's medical records, the past medical history, maybe some recent changes, allergies and whatnot. And the telemedicine consultation's initiated. Physical exam is performed. We have a high-def camera, which allows us, you can see a picture here, to zoom in on a rash. We have a Bluetooth stethoscope, which would allow me to listen to heart and lung sounds. So it's quite a robust evaluation that you're getting. In this specific case, the patient was thought to have an asthma exacerbation with a respiratory infection. The StationMD doctor prescribed medications. We can e-prescribe. And most of organizations we work with are affiliated with a pharmacy and they'll get meds delivered or someone from the facility or group home will go pick them up. And in this case, the StationMD doctor called back in an hour, maybe again in another hour, and the breath sound showed improvement. The SATs were 95%, it were improved. And everything here was documented in the electronic health record. If you're familiar with the common ones, we are using Therap, Precision Care. If not, we have our own that we could provide you. And in this case, the primary care physician was also notified through secure text or fax, and they were given a copy of the note. And I can tell you, the overall care here maybe took half an hour at the most, and a trip to the ER was avoided. As I said, I've been practicing for over 20 years, and almost guarantee that this individual came to the emergency department, I would do blood work, a chest x-ray, and it's really not out of the realm of possibilities that this individual would have been admitted to the hospital. This process, I can tell you, and it's probably similar in Queens, I don't think you would have the transportation set up by the time this whole process took place. So I think it's a better modality of care, a more robust mechanism of caring for individual, and of course, extremely time-saving for everyone involved. And I don't even have to mention the COVID exposure. I do want to emphasize that not all cases have to be emergent. We do med refills, med questions, med reconciliation. We handle behavior changes, constipation. You know, I always say that these minor issues such as constipation or a UTI can turn into a bowel obstruction or urosepsis later if not addressed. So, we always say when in doubt, if you're not sure whether to call StationMD and it's a non-life-threatening issue, just call us. Our doctors are probably able to handle it. Lastly, I'll just go through some quick clinical and economic outcomes. This has been pretty consistent even past June of this year, meaning about 8 or 9 times out of 10 or 85% of the time, we can keep an individual in their home setting. Meaning if we get a call, it's very unlikely that we need to send you out. And that's been very consistent across thousands and thousands of encounters. And that's largely due to the great work our doctors are doing and caring for individuals. But as I mentioned, a lot of these calls that we get are issues that you have no other recourse but to send them out, and we handle those. Like I said, the med refills and the questions and the clarifications, and we're happy to do those. Lastly, I'll just go through, these are just some of the calls that we get, you know, cellulitis, constipation, fever, minor trauma, falls. You can here see sepsis. Those are all gray. Those all get sent out. Obviously, you can't handle sepsis on a virtual consultation. Those need to go to the emergency department. And the one thing I will add is that if an individual does need to be sent out, our physicians will call the ER in advance and we will do a doctor-to-doctor transfer, meaning we'll say, hey, you know, so-and-so is coming from this group home. This is the reason they're coming. And oftentimes it expedites the care. At the very least, it eliminates unnecessary testing. And I can tell you as a physician, to me, it's the gold standard when another ER doctor is calling me. And oftentimes, like I said, it eliminates those physicians going like, you know, I don't know what's going on. You know, you may show up in the ER with the big binder that no doctor ever reads that binder. And you kind of get a less of a, okay, let me just order all these tests because I don't know this individual. So it's our hope that it expedites the care. And we also take turnover back from the emergency department as well, if needed. This is just a very busy slide, which we can get to, which is really pertinent more to agencies, which shows some of the cost savings based on 200 individuals. And of course, this is quite a significant number. And that's really for payers, that this solution is not only beneficial to the individual, and I truly feel provides better care, but does result in tremendous amount of cost savings for both agencies and payers. And again, we're happy to share this with you. This is our emails, myself and Megan's. You know, if you go to our website, stationmd.com, you can reach us through there. And we are more than happy to provide you with more information. I will say that it has been a challenging time and year for everyone involved. But for individuals with IDD, I think that they are vulnerable and more at risk, as are other populations, nursing home populations and others. And it's, I think it's imperative on us to really be advocates because it is real. This virus does affect them more than others. And unfortunately, we are seeing an uptick even in our region. So I think now more than ever, we cannot keep our guard down. And I will also add that anything we can do to mitigate or relieve the burden on the healthcare system, meaning keep people out of ERs, urgent cares, even doctor's office, we have to do. We are not out of the woods by any means. And again, I'm probably preaching to the choir. You guys all know that, but we're happy to help in any way we possibly can. So thank you very much. I'm gonna see if I can stop sharing and don't know if there's any specific questions in the chat box, but if there are, you can put them in. Otherwise, again, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Dr. Trivedi. So there is one question. They're asking, what insurance do you accept?
Sure. And Megan, if you want to talk about a little bit about our structure and whatnot.
Sure. So we normally work based, if it's like with a provider agency that would be contracting with us, we would kind of work with that provider agency, and then we would cover all of their individuals. We usually have kind of a set fee per individual per month. And then we would, depending on whether we're going to be, we could be billing insurances as well. Right now we don't have any limitations in what insurances we would bill. So some of the models, as you know, have really changed in terms of reimbursement because of COVID. We're not sure, or we're hoping that a lot of those things stay the same, and that we'll be able to kind of continue to bill like Medicaid and Medicare. But right now we usually do have, kind of a subscription fee that the agency would pay, a per person per month fee. And then we do make arrangements to bill for the insurances as well.
Yeah, you know, as Megan alluded to, telemedicine is kind of a moving target in terms of reimbursement. You know, the COVID crisis has, if there's any silver lining, has really just shown the value of telemedicine and kind of expedited how it's reimbursed. But as Megan said, we do have a subscription model. It's $30, it's a dollar a day for the services, and that's for 24/7 access to the physicians. But as she alluded to, we are looking at reimbursement models through insurance. So, and again, if you want to contact us, we can kind of walk you through it, or if you were part of an agency or not part of an agency.
I think there is a question about whether families can access the services directly. We haven't actually, you know, we've done that in some other locales, not in New York, but we are happy to talk about it. So if a family member wanted to reach out to us directly, certainly feel free to. My email's in the presentation, so feel free to give me, shoot me an email and we can talk about that. There are some providers within the New York area, Partners Health Plan, that covers individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities that also do contract with us as well. So that's also another avenue to get the services. So a couple of different ways you can get access to the services.
Okay, great. I think this was in your response, both your responses, but I just want to share the questions as well. You know, do you work with individuals at home or do you only work with group homes only?
Sure. Yeah, both. We have some individuals in their home. We have some individuals in a group home setting. We have some individuals still in ICF type settings. So really no limitations. We have, we actually have an app that is free to download that if you use our services or subscribe, you can use that. It doesn't allow us to listen to heart and lung sounds yet. We don't have the Bluetooth stethoscope part, but we cover people in all settings.
So that means that the parent would be paying the fee.
Yeah. I mean, if it's a parent, or the individual themselves, yes. Yeah.
But what we could do is, you know, we could also reduce the fee based on what we can, recoup back from, Medicaid or Medicare as well.
Okay. Any other questions? So if I'll ask one. So if anyone wants to join the service, they would reach out to you then.
Yep.
And so I will we will share that email information again. I'm just gonna grab your emails. Technology at its best.
Yeah.
So we can do that. Of course, it doesn't do the whole thing. Any other questions? Okay, so if a child has Medicaid, you would accept it. That's what they're
correct. Right. Correct. Yeah, we would accept it. There would still be that subscription fee, but we could, as I said, we could reduce that based on whatever reimbursements we did get back from Medicaid.
Okay, great. Oops. All right, so it seems that folks are, let's see. And that seems like it's it. Here we go. Here's another one. Can a family call without being enrolled in your system?
No, we would need to have people enrolled ahead of time. A big part of our service is also getting a little bit of background information on our clients so that the providers can actually make the best clinical decision. So we would want to enroll people ahead of time. And get some of their medical information ahead of time so that the providers would have access to that when they're seeing the individuals. So there would need to be kind of an enrollment process. It's a quick enrollment process, but we would need to do that.
Yeah, you know, it takes a few minutes, but we find that, you know, when I do my evaluation, for example, I will have the virtual consultation, you know, like video on one screen, and on the other screen, I'll have the basic information about past medical, what meds they're on, any other information that we upload. So it really is I think it's a better way and a higher quality of care that we provide. Again, as Megan said, it's very quick to enroll.
Now this is insurance specific. It's asking, do you accept United Healthcare or Oxford? I think that's probably based on questions that, you know, the healthcare world is ever changing on who accepts what and when.
Yeah, so that's fine. We would really accept any kind of insurance that's, you know, not a limitation. So any insurance would be fine. We'd be able to bill through those insurances.
Another question is that, so family members can enroll their loved ones, or do they have to go through an agency?
If they're not affiliated with an agency, that's fine. Or the agency is not, you know, working with our with StationMD, then they can call directly. That's fine.
Great. Can I just enter the contact information again for both Megan and Dr. Trivedi? So if you do want a more personalized question or keep more private. That's their contact information. All right. Any other? I wasn't sure if you, Megan, had your own separate presentation or it was just this one.
No, it was just this one.
Excellent. So I guess this would be a wrap. So I don't know if you both want to share some last minute, closing remarks before we.
I just want to thank you for letting us present. And again, I think, you know, if people have more specific questions that are specific to their individual or agencies, we're happy to take them. I think that the key is, right now with what's going on, if you can, I can't emphasize it enough, but, you know, do what you can to stay safe and at home. And we, I don't know, Megan probably knows a little better, but have over 7,000 individuals or so, give or take, that we cover throughout the state of New York. I think we've made a real impact. I can't emphasize enough that this thing isn't over. It persists, so we need to stay vigilant. So again, please contact us if you have specific questions.
Excellent. All right, if that is it, thank you everyone for joining during this session. And we will see you all tomorrow, hopefully, for our next sessions. And with that, everyone have a good day.
Thank you again for having us.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.